New York cracks down on payday lenders.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith with the Marketplace Midday Update. Manhattan's District Attorney's Office has charged that a group of companies broke New York law by making high-interest payday loans over the internet. That's according to the New York Times. Marketplace's Dan Weissman has been looking into this for us. Good morning, Dan.
Hi, Stacey.
So how did this work?
So according to the indictment, which the Times posted, a Tennessee man created a dozen companies that together formed what the DA's office calls a payday syndicate. Each company had a specific function, including a shell company that was officially incorporated in the West Indies. And it was structured so the company, you don't have to quote this, owned no assets, had no officers or employees, possessed no bank accounts, and occupied no office space, unquote. A lawyer who's also charged in the indictment allegedly says, basically, don't worry about it. You're officially based in the West Indies. The loans happen in cyberspace. How can you be breaking New York's laws?
Dan, how much interest are we talking about here?
The DA's office says the company's loaned out about $50 million to New Yorkers just in 2012 and collected $15 million in interest. And that's way over New York's cap of 25% a year. The indictment lists one instance where the company's charged almost 1,300% on a loan. And this issue goes beyond New York. The indictment says these companies did $500 million in loans in just 2012 nationwide. And there's probably others doing the same thing. According to the Pew Charitable Trusts, 15 states have what Pew calls restrictive payday lending laws. A few outlaw them altogether. But Pew researchers also interviewed more than 33,000 people and found that even in states where payday loans aren't allowed, like Arizona, people still use them.
Marketplace's Dan Weissman. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Stacey.
Last month, a water main broke on the campus of UCLA and flooded the Los Angeles campus. Since then, city officials say they're working overtime to fix the city's aging infrastructure. But as LA and many other cities have discovered, the costs are daunting. Conrad Wilson reports.
It's going to take the city of Los Angeles billions of dollars to fix its aging infrastructure.
They estimate some over 20 million gallons of water were lost. And of course, it wound up on that new floor at the Poly Pavilion basketball arena.
Greg DiLoretto is former president of the American Society of Civil Engineers.
We have some 240,000 water main breaks a year in this country. And the age of our water infrastructure continues to get older and older and older.
He says the country needs something like $84 billion in water infrastructure investments between now and 2020. Carolyn Barrett is program director at the National League of Cities. She says local governments haven't had access to the kind of capital they'll need to make these upgrades.
The traditional method has been through the state revolving loan funds. Those numbers have been declining in recent years.
Barrett says if cities are going to fix their leaky pipes, they'll need more financing than just a drop in the bucket. I'm Conrad Wilson for Marketplace.
Two decades after the collapse of the USSR, Armenia is forging closer links with its former Soviet parent, Russia, to boost its economic fortunes. It's also calling on Armenians who live abroad to publish positive stories about the nation, hoping to promote tourism and foreign investment. The BBC's Russell Padmore has the story.
Armenia's ancient culture survived decades of Soviet influence before independence in 1991. Now, however, the government in Yerevan plans to join the common economic zone of the Russian Federation, alongside Kazakhstan and Belarus next year. Armenia relies heavily on loans from Russia, as well as money sent home by its diaspora. And there's about 10 million of them. President Serzh Sarkisyan is spearheading the One Armenian, One Article campaign, asking expatriates to target sites like Wikipedia, writing a story to promote the country.
The Armenian diaspora sees itself in many ways as a second army.
Aram Hamperian is the executive director of the National Armenian Committee of America.
Armenians spread around the world and prospered pretty much wherever they've ended up, but they haven't forgotten their roots and they've tried to stay connected. And that is part of the soft power of the Armenian nation. It can't be accounted for. It's not a budget line item. It's not a military asset, but it is a very important power.
Development of the Armenian economy is held back because its borders with Azerbaijan and Turkey are closed. A campaign of posting positive stories online could boost tourism. Gillian Leaning is the marketing manager at the UK travel company Regent Holidays.
People will get an idea of what it's like. They'll see images of the ancient monasteries, and they'll hear about the rolling valleys of the Lesser Caucasus, or what it's like to taste the country's brandy in Yerevan, and they're far more likely to consider it as a destination for their next holiday.
Famous people with Armenian roots include the renowned billionaire investor Kirk Kerkorian and Cher. And Cher has been promoting Armenia for many years. In London, I'm the BBC's Russell Padmore for Marketplace.
And finally, ever since the advent of the hydroelectric dam, the upriver journey of the salmon has been jeopardized. A new invention from Woosh Innovations is addressing that problem. The salmon cannon. Seriously. Migrating salmon swim into a tube and are shot more than 500 feet into the air to the water upstream. The salmon cannon is being tested now at the Raza Dam in Washington State. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith with the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.